ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। ऑल ऑफ यू आर डेफिनेटली वेरी वेरी फॉर्चुनेट इंडीड, बिकॉज यू हैव कम टू मधुबन in this month of January. January month is dedicated to Brahma Baba. How it was on the 18th of January 1969, exactly 50 years ago, when Brahma Baba left his mortal coil, physical body, and became angelic. And this month inspires us that all of us become angelic like Brahma Baba. How within a period of just 33 years, he attained that angelic stage from an ordinary family man. Although Baba had so many qualities which were quite higher than ordinary human beings, because he is the first soul to have attained world sovereignty, to become the soul of Sri Narayan, world sovereign, the first prince of golden age, Sri Krishna, and at the beginning of Copper Age, the first devotee to worship Shiva, and at the end of Iron Age too, a very highly devotional person, quite rich, with many, many royal qualities, be fit to be a king even in his last birth, the 84th birth, because Baba was a businessman, a jewel merchant to be exact. He dealt with jewelry studded with diamonds, and who could afford that jewelry? Only the kings and queens, the royal families who lived in India and Nepal, and of course the Britishers, even the Queen of England came to her shop, because it was British rule in India. Although he was born in a very, very simple family in a village of Hyderabad, Sindh, which was then part of Bharat and now part of Pakistan. His father was just an ordinary person living in a village, an ordinary primary school master, like a headmaster of a school. His mother died at a very young age, and how his father looked after the family. But from that simple life, you can say village boy he was, from that childhood, how he grew up and reached a stage of a very, very flourishing, successful jewel merchant, all in one life. He was quite rich, very wealthy, and he was also a big philanthropist, big-hearted. Whoever came to his doorstep never went back empty-handed. He would always be giving, giving. So he was a philanthropist. He was a great devotee of Vishnu. And we can say how in the drama, he, that soul, the soul of Sri Narayan, at the end of the cycle becomes the devotee of Sri Narayan, or the corporeal form of Vishnu. So he was a great devotee too. And a very, very strong reader of the Gita. Every day, without fail, the first thing he would do after having a shower, everything, without even eating anything, he would first read the Gita. Invite his whole family and would read the Gita to his family. So right from morning onwards, the satsang would start in his home. And many people from outside, his friends, relatives, and also they would come. So although he was a devotee, although he was rich, but he had a strong desire to know the truth. And for that he studied so many scriptures. So many scriptures. What is the truth? Who is God? Where is God? How can I meet Him? How will I achieve true peace and happiness in life? Although he didn't lack anything in life. He had a very good family, 5 children, very dedicated wife. He had children, grandchildren, everything. But he was in search of truth. And for that he would go to many gurus and ask them about truth, about God. But nowhere did he really feel satisfied. And he said, no, this one is not the real guru for me. And in this way, in his lifetime, he made 12 gurus. Usually, you know, people when they go to one guru and they think he's my guru, that's all. They don't think of anybody else. But he wasn't that, person to be satisfied with little things. So he was in search all the time, search and search and search to know the truth. And how he used to go to many devotional places, pilgrimage places. He also went to Amarnath, you know, in the Himalayas, in search of truth. But he could not really reach up to that satisfaction. And how Baba chose him, Shiv Baba chose him. He had the royalty in him even beforehand, because he used to deal with kings. He used to visit their palaces. The queens, of course, would not travel a lot, you know. They used to be confined in the palaces. So the kings used to invite him to make diamond jewelry for the queen. And Baba used to go there. But the kings used to have so much respect for him. They would say, God made a mistake. Instead of making He made us king, but you should have become a king because you have such royalty in you. But even Baba did not know that the royalty was because of his previous births. and how Baba got visions, and that changed his life. His renunciation was instant. As Shiv Baba entered in his body and started speaking, Baba felt something was happening. It wasn't he who was speaking, it was someone else. But he did not understand. He had the Gita in his hand and he wanted to read the Gita, and Shiv Baba would come and speak through him. And that book would remain as it was. And he used to wonder, who is speaking? Shiv Baba would come and speak the knowledge of the soul, of the Supreme Soul, of the cycle, of karma. And Brahma Baba used to hear. You know, that's why in the Murli Baba says, how I was the first student. Because Shiv Baba would speak through his mouth and Brahma's ears would hear first. No, of course, my ears will hear first before this sound travels to you. So I'm the first student. And Baba said in one Murli, I never miss the Murli. Now how can Brahma Baba miss the Murli, because Shiv Baba speaks through him. And then we know that how Baba's life was completely transformed. And whatever Shiv Baba told him, he did that instantly. Shiv Baba told him, now, whatever wealth you have, you dedicate all that to the mothers. And even before Shiv Baba came in his body, he had great respect for women. Great respect. He used to feel that how women should be uplifted spiritually, because at that time in Hyderabad, Sindh, women had no authority, nothing at all, no freedom. They were like tortured, they were like suppressed all the time. They had nothing for which they could be really proud, be proud of. It was a man-dominated society. They used to remain behind veils, you know, covering their head all the time, their face all the time, and remain confined to the four walls, that's all at home. And men, they were businessmen, you know, especially the Sindhis. They were very big businessmen, they had their business all over the world. And they used to travel all over the world, but the poor women, the wives, they used to remain confined to the four walls and look after the children, that's all. But Brahma Baba was not like that. He was very open-minded. And when Shiv Baba came in his body, of course, and Baba said, now keep the mothers in the front, the sisters in the front. When women rise in spirituality, the world will become a heaven. When women have fallen, this world has become a hell. A woman is like a pivotal point. If it rises, the whole world rises. If it falls, if she falls, the whole world falls. She is that pivotal point, you know, just like you have the center. So if that rises, everything rises. If that falls, everything falls. And women will be the gateway to heaven. Because till then, sannyasis would say, a woman is a doorway to hell. That's what sannyasis say. A woman opens the gates of hell. A woman is like fire and man is like cotton wool. How that fire can burn cotton wool, and therefore they used to shun women, be away from women. Some of them would not even see the face of a woman. But of course, they took birth from a woman. They forgot that. It's a woman who gave them birth, no? and it's a woman whom the child sees first, the mother. But they used to discard women, and here Baba elevated the women. And as all of you know, how Baba's work started, because Shiv Baba gave him the vision that you have to create a new world, the world of heaven. It's through you that I will create this a new world. And Baba wondered what he had to do for that. And then, of course, the part of visions began. Like a revolution started. And people used to get visions of Krishna from Baba. And that pulled especially the women towards Baba. So, two revolutionary acts happened at the beginning of the yajna. The first was of visions. So many visions. Visions of destruction, visions of golden age, visions of Sri Krishna, you know. All these visions, and everyone was attracted. And secondly, it was mainly women who were attracted more. That was also a revolution. And then how Baba, Shiv Baba, through Brahma Baba, declared that now you all have to lead a holy yogi life, pure life. Be holy, be yogi. And how all of them promised, they took a pledge that we will make our life holy and yogi. Because until there is that purity, the deity world cannot come. Golden age cannot come. The deity kingdom, the deity dynasty, the deity religion cannot come until there is purity. And this is what Shiv Baba instilled in them. And that's how this yajna started. And then how Shiv Baba told Brahma Baba, whatever you have, your body, mind, wealth, all will it to the mothers. And Baba willed all his property to the mothers. And the transformation came instantly in him. That was the great renunciation. Even before that, although he was a diamond merchant, but when he got visions, how his mentality changed completely. In these jewels, those diamonds, you know, precious jewels, were like stones to Baba. He did not feel any attraction towards them. Otherwise, they were very precious. But Baba felt them to be like stones because his vision changed, his thoughts changed, his feelings changed. His attitude changed, everything changed. And there was totally disinterest for the whole world. So that was the beginning. And we say that Baba put the seed of establishment through his body, mind and wealth. And that seed has flourished today. We say it has become a huge banyan tree. This banyan tree spread in over 140 countries with hundreds of thousands of Baba's spiritual children dedicated to Baba, surrendered to Baba. So this is how it all started. And we say Brahma Baba is our Alaukik father. Nobody knows how Brahma Baba is everyone's Alaukik father because he's the creator, Brahma the creator. And Baba says it's only at the confluence age that you get this third father, the Alaukik father. In golden age, only one father, the Alaukik father. That's all. Nobody knows Shiv Baba, nobody knows Brahma Baba. But From Copper Age onwards, people start worshipping, start remembering God, and therefore the Paralokic Father, the Supreme Father is remembered. But no one knows the Alokic Father. And it's only at this confluence age that we get the third Father also, the Alokic Father. And we say with that pride that Brahma Baba is our Alokic Father. He's a direct Father and we are the mouth-born progeny of Brahma. Of course, we are the original children of Shiv Baba's souls. We are all souls, eternal, original children of Shiv Baba. But now at the confluence age, when Brahma Baba, when Shiv Baba is establishing the new world through Brahma Baba, we have become the adopted children of Brahma Baba. And we are following his footsteps. So January month is dedicated to that. Following Brahma Baba in his footsteps. You know, many people question. You say that you remember Shiv Baba, God, the light, incorporeal. Then why do you have such big pictures of Brahma Baba? Why do you keep them? We say he's our father. Don't you have your father's picture at home? Your father's picture, he's supposing he's not alive physically, but you have his picture at home, don't you? You do tell others, no, he is my father. So this one is our Alokic Father. Why should we not keep his photo? But we don't remember him. We don't worship him. We don't pray to him. Because he too would say, remember Shiv Baba. Don't remember this one. I also remember Shiv Baba. Yes, we take inspiration from him. Whatever Brahma Baba did that made him perfect, we have to do the same in order to become perfect like him. Whatever steps he took, we have to take the same. And therefore January month is dedicated for that. And every day you get at the end of the Murli, a few lines of what Brahma Baba did, which we have to do. So we say that if we want to come close to Brahma Baba, the first founding father, through whom Shiv Baba establishes the first deity religion, in order to come close to him, we have to know all his greatness. What was Brahma Baba? How he kept such a wonderful balance in his life? How we could feel that he was not, you know, a bodily being, but like an angel with no bones and flesh, but just light form. Whenever we used to come in front of Brahma Baba. And it was definitely my privilege, my great fortune, that I came to Brahma Baba, I came to Baba at the age of 10, 11 years old. This was in the year 1958. I was just 10 years old. And my mother, my Lokik mother, she actually came to Baba before me. And she used to say that because I lost my Lokik father when I was very young, just 3 days old, that's all. 3 days old, he died in an accident, so I never saw him. But I used to always feel that my father is not alive. And how I saw Brahma Baba as my father. So when Baba came to Mumbai, he used to come every year to Bombay. because Bombay, you know, was quite warm, and Mount Abu very cold in December, January, February, very cold. So Baba used to come to Mumbai because weather in Mumbai is always normal. It's never very cold. And therefore Baba used to come, and my mother took me to Baba. The moment I saw Baba, I was just 12 years old in 1960. I was only 12 years old at that time. And the moment I saw Baba, I felt I found my real father. It was such a strong pull. And then Baba called me. Baba said, "Come, daughter, come." Because I'm sure Baba must have got my vibrations. And when Baba said, "Come, child, come, daughter," I felt that magnetic pull from Baba. And immediately I got up and I ran, you know, and just embraced Baba. I hugged Baba, shook Baba. You know, I remember that that moment. It was such a magnetic pull. And then Baba patted on my back, and Baba gave me a beautiful blessing. Baba said, "The child has come back to the father." These were Baba's words to me. "The child has come back to the father." And I felt I found my real father. So definitely it was my privilege. And after that, of course, there was no looking back. I found my true family. I found my true home. I found my true father. So that was in the year 1960. But I came in knowledge, I got this knowledge the very first day, that was in 58. And I saw the picture of Brahma Baba. I saw at that time just two pictures were there, that's all. The Trimurti cycle in one picture and the Kalpa tree in the other picture. That's all, nothing else, no other pictures were there. But from those two pictures, I felt as if I know this knowledge. And some would tell me, "You are maybe second birth Brahmin." That's what they used to tell me. And then, of course, no looking back. And Brahma Baba was in Bombay for 3 months. So every day, I used to first go to the center in my school uniform, listen to the Murli, and then go to school. I was studying. I was in school, you know. 7th class, I was only 12 years old. And that was my daily routine. So morning, attend Murli class, to go to school. Evening, come to the center. Baba used to, you know, give a class or read the Murli, speak the Murli even in the evening. So I felt this was my real life, my real home. And because I was studying in an English medium school, a convent school in Mumbai. So, quite fluent in English. So one day I recited a poetry in English in front of Baba with action, like an action song. And Baba said, "Oh, you speak very good English." Because Baba used to like it. You know, Baba speaks such English, so many English words in the Murli. So Baba was very happy because at that time in India, not many people could speak English like that. And then one day, I gave a small speech in front of Baba, small speech in English. Because even in school, I was very good in elocution competition. I used to give lectures. And I used to get awards, you know, in my elocution competition, giving lectures on any topic. So I gave a little speech in front of Brahma Baba, and Baba again praised me and gave me a beautiful blessing. Baba said, "Yes, when you grow up, Baba will send you abroad for service." This is what Baba told me. "Baba will send you abroad for service because you speak English." And that was again the second blessing. So I'm seeing how Baba's blessings worked. And then I used to come to the center. I came to Madhuban so many times with my mother because she was the one who was always taking me to Baba. And whenever I remember the first time I came to Madhuban, this was I think in the year 1961. I was 8 days in Madhuban, because that's the time we used to stay in Madhuban. We couldn't stay longer because Madhuban was very small, Pandav Bhavan. But then it was all of us and Baba and nothing else. First morning Murli, night class, then playing with Baba. I remember Baba used to play badminton, Baba used to play cricket. And that place, that Tower of Peace in Pandav Bhavan, that was like a playground. And Baba used to play cricket there, badminton there. And he used to play with everybody. And then Brahma Bhojan together, sitting on the swing with Baba. And I remember when I was on the swing with Baba, my mother on one side, my Baba in the middle, and I on the other. So only seats for three. So Baba asked me a question. I was very young. Baba asked me a question. With whom are you sitting on the swing? I said, Baba. Then Baba asked again, who else? I said, my mother. You know, because we were only three on the swing. Then Baba asked again, who else? I said, Baba, no one else, just Baba, my mother and myself. Then Baba said, think again, who else? And I did not know the answer. And Baba said, see, you're swinging with Baba on the swing. At such a time, you should have that awareness that I am swinging on the swing with three highest personalities. And I started thinking, three highest personalities means what? So Baba said, the highest deity, Sri Krishna, so Sri Narayan, highest deity. Then second, the highest human being, the first human being, Brahma, the creator. And thirdly, the medium of that supreme being. So the medium, of course, the closest to Shiv Baba, the first human father, the great, 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 great grandfather. I'm swinging on the swing with the three highest authorities. And as Baba was saying this, I remember how intoxicated I became. Oh, wonderful. How lucky I am. Otherwise, I thought, oh, I'm just Baba. That's all. But when Baba said this, he made me so intoxicated. And I said, well, now this is my real father, my real home, my real family. I've come to the right place. And then 8 days I was in Madhuban, just Baba and none other. And then when it was time to depart, time to go back, Baba used to meet the group and give gift to everyone. Baba used to give, Mama also used to give. Mama was there, otherwise she was traveling a lot. So the whole group with which I come to Madhuban, they were all in front of Baba, but I was not there. So Baba asked for me, where is Shilu? And my mother said, I'm looking for her, but I can't find her. And so Baba told someone, go and look for her. And I was hiding. I was hiding because I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to go back to Bombay. So they looked for me and looked for me. And they did find me at the end. And I said, I don't want to go back to Bombay. They said, somebody said, who found me, said, no, but Baba is calling you. Okay, don't go back, but at least Baba is calling you, go. So I went to Baba, and Baba asked me, where were you? I started crying. I said, Baba, I don't want to go back to Bombay. Baba said, why you don't want to go back to Bombay? Baba, I want to live here. Then Baba told me, child, Baba will call you one day. Now you have to study, you know, you have to, Baba has to give you the blessing. Baba will send you abroad. So you have to study for that. You have to go to school. You have to study. And then one day Baba will definitely call you and make you live here. But now you have to go because you have to study there. Otherwise there are not very good schools in Mount Abu. Mount Abu is a small village, child. Bombay is a big city. So if you study there, Baba will call you one day. And I said, Baba, you promise? You'll call me to Madhuban and I will be here with you. Baba said, yes, I promise. And that is why I went home. I went to Bombay. But I continued studying and Baba used to come to Bombay. And then it was in the year 1967. At that time I was in college. And I had to decide what career to take, what line to take. And my family, very big family, all a joint family. My father was the youngest in the family and five brothers and their children. You know, before it used to be all joint families. So everyone wanted me to go for medicine, to become a doctor. So I wrote a letter to Baba. Baba used to reply to every letter. Can you imagine? So many children would write to Baba and Baba would reply. So I wrote a letter to Baba asking Baba, Baba, what should I do? My family, Lokik family, wants me to go for medicine, become a doctor. Baba, what should I do? And Baba wrote me back. What he said, Baba wrote me saying, child, Baba has great hopes in you. And Baba wants you to become a spiritual doctor and serve the world. These were Baba's words. Become a spiritual doctor and serve the world. This is Baba's great hope in you. Because Baba told earlier also you have to serve the world. So you have to become a spiritual doctor. That means no need to go for medicine, you know. And when Baba said this, of course, it was like a full stop in my mind that now this is my aim in life, to become a spiritual doctor, to serve the world, to fulfill Baba's hopes. But my family was not ready to allow me to surrender to Baba. At that time, Dadi Prakashmani was a teacher in Mumbai. You know, she was living in Mumbai. And I asked Dadi, Dadi, I want to surrender my life to Baba. I was 18 years at that time. And Dadi said, well, you have to get a letter from home. Your Lokiks should give you a letter that they are ready to allow you to surrender to Baba. But no one was ready to give me a letter from home. They said, no, you have to study, you have to study. So then Dadi said, okay. Actually at that time, Didi Nirmala, how she came to my rescue. Because it was in the year 1966 that, you know, she wanted to surrender to Baba. She was already a doctor. She was practicing. And Baba told her that she should now get a house, an apartment, and open a like a center there and give training to Kumaris who can become teachers. This is what Baba told her. Because she told her Lokik father that I don't want to get married, I want to do this service. So he had some money for her, which I'm sure Didi will tell you herself, or you must be knowing too. So Baba told her, now open a center. And in that center, Baba told her, it was in 1967, that now give training to Kumaris. And I remember I was one of those Kumaris who came for that training in Bombay, where Didi Nirmala opened the center. And now I had to decide what to do. Baba wrote to me, you have to become a spiritual doctor. And family members not allowing me to dedicate to Baba, to surrender to Baba. So I asked for a solution to Nirmala Didi. And Nirmala Didi, you know, she said yes or no. She doesn't say, you decide. No, she gives a very accurate answer. So she told me, okay, Shilu, just the best thing is go for 2 years of degree course. Get a degree. Because 2 years of Bachelor of Science. Get a degree and then we will see. Now at least you satisfy your family and you satisfy also everybody else. And because even Dadi Prakashmani said, we cannot take you because we need a letter from your home. And therefore I went for my degree course. And I was in my last year of college in 69. I was doing my Bachelor of Science. And in January, how Baba left the body, it was in 1969. And it was my final year of college. So it was a Saturday evening. And every day, of course, I used to go to the center. I used to give classes. I used to give lectures. And also, there was a museum, an exhibition in the hall, and I used to explain to new people. So that was my daily routine. And at 8 o'clock at night, I would go back home. My lucky home was very close to the center. I used to go home. But so the day evening of 18 January 69, it was the same routine. I went back home at 8 o'clock, and it was at about 8:45 at night when Brahma Baba left the body in Madhuban. And how Baba conducted the class, the Murli, at night in the history hall. And at the end of the Murli, Baba got up after saying good night, namaste. Baba got up and came to the door of the history hall to go to this room. But he stood at the gate, the door of the history hall, and looked back because everybody was sitting. No, they didn't get up until Baba left. So he stood there, turned back towards everyone, and said three last words. His three words were, children, may you be incorporeal, viceless, egoless. Okay, Baba takes leave. Baba never said this, Baba takes leave. He would always say, good night, namaste, that's all. But never Baba takes leave. And that night, standing at the doorstep of the history hall, bowed in front of the children, said namaste, and then okay, may you be incorporeal, egoless, viceless, and Baba takes leave. And Baba went to his room. It was about 8:45 at that time. And he was on his bed, sitting on his bed, and maybe he must be having some chest pain. And Dadi Prakashmani, how she went in front of him, and Baba's eyes were closed. Baba was so detached, completely detached. And Dadi went in front of him and said, Baba, Baba. Baba didn't open his eyes. Baba was totally detached, very bodiless, completely bodiless, overcoming maybe the last karmic accounts of the body. And then Dadi caught hold of his hand because Baba was sitting on his bed. And as Baba, as Dadi held his hands, Baba opened his eyes. And that drishti and hand, that was what Baba says. Baba willed all the powers to Dadi Prakashmani, and she was there standing. So Baba didn't say a word, but just through drishti and hands, Baba willed his powers and how Baba left the body. It was something very strange for Dadi Prakashmani, because Dadi is... Baba's hands were in Dadi's hands, you know, and immediately they became so loose, and maybe the soul had left the body. But Dadi was totally unaware of what had happened. But anyway, later on, of course, all that, the doctors came, and of course, Baba, he was declared that he's dead. But then that was the final stage when Baba was becoming angelic. That whole day, Baba was completely angelic. Completely angelic. Actually, for the past 6 months, Baba had that angelic stage. Baba used to stand and just give drishti to everyone. All would stand still in front of Baba. He was like the lighthouse. And just his drishti was so powerful that all would be totally bodiless. And Baba used to say, children, you have to become lighthouse. You have to become the tower of peace. You have to become tower of might. You have to become tower of knowledge, tower of purity. So that's why the tower of peace has these four towers. Tower of peace, tower of knowledge, tower of might, tower of purity. So Baba used to say that. And then Baba used to also say that this body may perish. This is not immortal. But Baba is with you. And Baba used to say in the Murlis that how this Brahma will become angelic Brahma. It's all there in the Murlis. So this Brahma will become angelic Brahma because Gulzar Dadi was the first soul in the Yajna to get the vision of subtle regions. Before that, no one had vision of subtle regions. They used to see vision of golden age, destruction, point of light, soul world, heaven. But subtle region, for that Gulzar Dadi gets that credit. That she was the first one to see the subtle region and the angelic form of Brahma Baba. And when she saw that angelic form of Brahma Baba in the subtle region, the world of light, of silvery light. You know, if you put thousands of moons together, how that light becomes silvery light. And sunlight is golden red, but moonlight is silvery white. And that's what she saw. And in that silvery white light, the light angelic form of Brahma Baba, very transparent, but face was visible. Like it could be understood it is Brahma Baba. And when she saw that figure of light, in that world of light, she was sort of amazed, but then also afraid, because she had never experienced that before. And as she saw, immediately she got afraid and she came down. She was in that trance state, but she came down, and she came and told Baba, Baba, I saw something very strange. Your image, your form, but all in light, in a world of light. And Baba became curious. What did you see? My form there? What was that? And she said, Baba, I don't know. I was afraid and I came down. So Baba told her. Baba became curious because naturally everyone will become curious. So Baba told her, okay, sit again and go again and Baba will call you. Go again and if that same figure appears, you ask him, who are you? Who are you? Now she got permission from Baba. It was authorized. So she again went and saw that figure again and she asked him, who are you? And that one told her that I am the perfect form of Brahma. Brahma Baba, whom you see in the corporeal world, I am his perfect form. And this Brahma is going to become this one. He pointed him towards himself. So the physical Brahma will become this angelic Brahma. And go and tell this to Brahma Baba, that your angelic perfect form is in the subtle regions. And she came down and revealed everything to Brahma Baba. And then Baba realized, yes, my perfect form is that I have to become that. I have to become that. I have to become that. That's what he used to tell himself. Before that, he used to see his Lakshmi Narayan in the history hall. You know, of course, this was in the Yajna, but then Baba used to get visions of Vishnu or others. So he thought, I'll become Narayan. But this was another unique experience. I'll become angelic Brahma. I have to become perfect. And after that, Gulzar Dadi used to see how that physical form and that angelic form gradually coming closer, 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 closer to each other, closer to each other. And on 18th of January 69, that form merged in the angelic form and Brahma Baba became angelic. Now, this experience Gulzar Dadi had on that very day. And here Baba left the body. Now, I was unaware because I left the center, went home, 8 o'clock, and next morning was Sunday morning, and I came to the center. And when I came to the center, everything was so quiet. Very few people sitting in meditation, no Murli. I was wondering, what happened? What happened? And I asked somebody very quietly, what happened? And there was an old lady, I asked her, and she said, yesterday night, Brahma Baba left the body, and everyone has gone to Mount Abu. I was in Mumbai, you know. Everyone has gone to Mount Abu because Brahma Baba has left the body. And the moment I heard this, it was a big shock for me, a shock, I should say. My legs began to tremble, you know. You know, like somebody shocked how his legs tremble. So I also felt the same. I said, Baba, gone. Baba has left the body. And at that time I felt as if now the whole world is going to be destroyed. That was my feeling at that moment. I felt as if this earth is shaking. Next morning, and maybe the sky will fall down and then the whole world will crumble into pieces and everything will be destroyed. That was my feeling at that moment. And it was a big shock. And I remember telling Baba, Baba, you're gone. Baba, and I remembered what Baba had written to me. You have to fulfill Baba's hopes and become a spiritual doctor and serve the world. So I said, Baba, I haven't yet fulfilled your hopes and I'm still studying and you're gone. At that time I got a beautiful experience. Such a beautiful experience. I saw that angelic form of Brahma Baba of light standing in front of me. And how Baba put his hand of blessing on my head. And Baba told me, child, Baba is not gone. Baba is not gone. Baba is still with you and you have to fulfill Baba's hopes. You have to serve the world. Baba is not gone. So that was a feeling I got at that time. Of course, I didn't know anything else. Well, in Madhuban, so many, you know, Gulzar Dadi went into trance and how she saw the angelic form of Brahma Baba, and because Dadi Prakashmani asked Gulzar Dadi, ask Baba, because she used to go into trance anyway. She was a trance messenger from day one. And go and ask Baba, Baba, why did you leave us and go? And Baba gave the message through Dadi Gulzar that Baba is not gone. Baba has only changed his costume and changed his room and dress. Room and costume, that's all. Baba is not gone. So costume change means physical body relinquished, but spirit, but body of light, angelic body taken. So that is change of costume. And room change means physical world gone into angelic world. So that's another room. Room change, but Baba is still with you. And then Dadi asked Gulzar Dadi again to ask Baba, because she was the medium now. She used to meet Baba in subtle regions and Dadi in Prakashmani in the physical world. And Dadi asked Gulzar Dadi to ask Baba, Baba, what to do next? And Baba told her, Bap Dada will come. Just as Shiv Baba came in the body of Brahma Baba, and now Shiv Baba and perfect Brahma will come in the body and speak. And let Dadi Prakashmani decide which chariot to take. Bap Dada will come. So these, at that time, all this was in Madhuban. And then how on 21st of January 69, The body was cremated in Pandav Bhavan, at that very same place where Baba used to play with the children, and the Tower of Peace. So that's the place. And how in the evening, because this cremation took place at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then in the evening at 6 o'clock, 6:30, how Gulzar Dadi sat to offer bhog to Baba, and she went into trance. But nobody knew what would happen. Nobody knew. Usually, she would always go into trance and then come back and then start giving experience of what she saw in subtle regions. But that day was different. She went into trance, and then after that, the eyes opened very, 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 very gradually, very gradually, very gradually. Otherwise, she would naturally, like, you know, you wake up, your eyes open wide, no? You don't open gradually. So that's what she used to do when she would come back from trance. But this time it was different. Very gradually. And then giving drishti to everyone. And the face also changed. And we felt that surely, you know, something is different. And then the microphone was placed. But the voice was like a whisper. A whisper. So when a whisper is spoken through a microphone and the volume is so little original volume, then the volume in the amplifier has to be increased, and that can become a distorted voice. So it was a whisper. And then through the microphone it became like the voice of Avyat Bhav Dada when we hear. And it was on the 21st of January 69 when we say Avyat Bhav Dada came in the body of Gulzar Dadi first time and gave all the directions of what to do now. And how Baba said, till now the service which had happened was only at ant speed. And now it will happen at bird speed, the speed of a bird and the speed of an ant. What a big contrast. And because in Sakar Murlis also we hear Baba speaking about how you have to serve abroad. So till then, no service had happened abroad, just in Bharat. And then how Baba said, you have to now serve the world. And because Baba used to say in Sakar Murlis, when foreigners come to Madhuban, they will awaken the Kumbhakarnas of Bharat. This knowledge will go everywhere in the world. But nobody at that time thought of it. Nobody, how it will go in the world. Many dadis, you know, they give their experience that Baba told me to go abroad and serve. Janki Dadi is one of them. Baba told Dadi Janki, you have to go and serve outside. Dadi said, Baba, what am I going to do? I don't know English. No English. And Baba said, don't worry, you'll get many interpreters. You have to just go and serve. So the same thing for other dadis too. But then Baba used to say that when Baba's knowledge will go abroad and the children from abroad will come to Madhuban, they will awaken the Kumbhakarnas of Bharat. And the dadis used to wonder how it's going to happen. And we know that how Baba's service started abroad only after Brahma Baba became Avyat. And when Sakar Baba used to speak the Murli, Baba's Murli used to be so powerful, you know, so powerful. All that was a history hall. And not sometimes many sitting also, maybe just the permanent residents of Madhuban, not always there were groups. Even if there would be groups, not more than 50, because not many could be accommodated in Madhuban. Only supposing 50 came, Baba would write to everybody, Madhuban is house full, nobody else come, because Madhuban is house full, there are 50 members here. At that time, not big other buildings were there, nothing was there. Just a small Pandav Bhavan, that's all. And Baba used to speak such forceful murlis too. And we used to ask Baba, today you spoke such a forceful murli as if there were thousands sitting in front of you. Baba used to say, children, I just don't see these ones who are sitting in front of me. I'm seeing also those ones who are going to come in the future. All those who are going to come in the future. Because those souls will come to Baba and awaken the Kumbhakarnas of Bharat. Baba used to say that again and again. That is, he was invoking the double foreigners. Brahma Baba was invoking the double foreigners. And now we can see how after Baba became Avyat, Baba's service started. And so many double foreigners have got that experience of Brahma Baba. I don't know in this group, is there anyone who has got vision of, who got a vision of Brahma Baba? Anyone? One, two, yes, yes, raise your hand. Raise your hand, anybody who got vision of Brahma Baba? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Very good. So I clap for them, please, everyone. So how Brahma Baba invoked. And now we can see that how double foreigners are so close to Brahma Baba. As close they are to Shiv Baba, that you are also very close to Brahma Baba. And I'm sure you are very special. Very close to Brahma Baba, that's why you have come in January. So congratulations to you, congratulations, congratulations. Om Shanti. Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. Because now we have another program and I must finish. Thank you. Om Shanti.